Hi, this is Crime Talk, and today we're going to be talking about Ted Bundy and his first confirmed murder. Ted Bundy was born on November 24, 1946 in Burlington, Vermont, and grew up to be a charming and smart young man. However, by the time he was a teenager, Ted Bundy already exhibited signs of the sadistic serial killer he would become.
Now I'm excited.
Yeah. So in some of the interviews, he would say that he is antisocial and walking the streets looking for discarded pornography or windows that aren't covered so he could look at unsuspected women.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it really is. Ted Bundy also had juvenile record for theft, but it was dismissed when he turned 18. In 1972, he graduated college and showed great interest in law or politics. That didn't work out very well when he realized he enjoyed viciously assaulting his earliest victim in 1974.
Oh my gosh.
He tended to target young college women, first next to his home in Washington, then moving east to Utah, Colorado, and finally in Florida. He targeted women with a ruse, meaning he would trick them into thinking he was hurt or homeless. He would then use his so-called disabilities to trick these women into carrying his books and unloading things out of his car. He was also known to impersonate police officers or firefighters to gain their trust before he struck them. So he would strike them with a crowbar or a pipe, and then after hitting his victims, he would force them into his vehicle with handcuffs.
So he would literally hit somebody with the crowbar?
Yes, and then he would put the seats down, so when he drove away, they couldn't see him. I don't think I mentioned this, but Bundy has raped and killed more than 30 people. Counting. That's just what's confirmed. We're gonna talk about his first confirmed murder, where people finally started realizing this guy has killed so many people. Bundy abducted Linda Ann Healy, 21, from the University District of Seattle, where the main campus of the University of Washington is located. She was known in the community for giving the weekday ski report on the radio. He abducted and strangled her.
So he took all the hard work and went to a university to take people.
Basically, yeah. Linda Ann Healy was born in 1952 and was so beautiful. She could have been a model. She had really long auburn hair, big blue eyes, and a ready smile. The day before Linda vanished was like any other day. Linda got up at 5:30 a.m. and went to her job at Northwest Ski Reports to make her weather report. After work, she headed off to classes, and later that day he had planned to attend the afternoon choir class on the UW campus. Linda had made plans the following day to make dinner for her parents and brother, who was scheduled to come over to Linda's at 6 p.m., she wanted to make a special meal. When she returned home, she borrowed a roommate's car to go to the grocery store and returned to the house with her groceries at approximately 8:30 p.m., from where Linda and several of her roommates decided to walk to Dante's, a nearby tavern, to have a couple of beers.
So she went to the store and got groceries and then didn't come back until what time?
6, I think. That's what it said. Yeah. According to the book, Ted Bundy's Murderous Mysteries, the many victims of America's most infamous serial killer in the weeks preceding, Linda had complained about stomach pain, but that evening her friends described her as lively, talkative, and feeling good. Their conversation was light and really wasn't focusing on anything specific. So she was just normal. Nobody questioned it. Nobody had any, everything was just normal.
And no one thought she had any attackers or
right.
people wanting to hurt
her. Everything was just fun and nothing was going wrong. Once they all got home from the bar, one of her roommates would later recall to authorities that Linda had come into her room at approximately 11:30 p.m. to talk before heading to her own room in the basement of the home at approximately midnight. So, nothing was different. Everything was just normal. Nobody really questioned anything.
And no one would expect her to get taken or whatever because
right, exactly.
She's such a nice person.
Yeah, and everything was just like I said, normal. Sometime during the night, Bundy walked up the steps of the home and tried to see if the door was unlocked. In his favor, he found it open and planned to come back later. So he had to have been stalking her, I guess, for a while if he knew where she lived and everything like that. The following morning, on Friday, February 1st, 1974, Linda did not show up to work to do her morning weather report. As usual, her alarm went off at 5:30 a.m., and her roommate, Barbara Little, recalls hearing the alarm continue to go off, finding the room empty when she went in to check on Linda. She assumed she had already gone to work. None of the roommates recall hearing anything that night before, and initially there wasn't concern she was missing. However, Linda's employer soon called the house to ask why she didn't come to work. This concerned the roommates, but they decided to wait for Linda's father and brother to show up for dinner to share their worry. So, nobody was questioning anything. Everybody was just like, okay, maybe she, everything was still normal. They just, they were just confused, I guess, but they didn't think of anything bad.
And, they probably thought, oh, she probably stayed at a friend's house, or...
Right, exactly. And then they're having dinner with her brother and dad to show, to talk about everything and, how they feel or whatever. They explained to Linda's family that they were concerned. Linda had missed work, and no one had seen her on campus that day. Linda's mother immediately called the police. The Seattle Police Department responded to the home. So, her mom started freaking out and called the police. And also, nobody saw her on campus that day. So, it was a total of, forever since they saw her. Lieutenant Pat Murphy investigated Linda's room. The room was very neat, said Murphy. He also noted the bed had been made up neatly. Linda's roommates immediately found this odd, as Linda would not make her bed on days she went to work, and she never tucked the blanket with a pillow underneath. She always placed the pillow on top. So whoever went into her room really wasn't smart if they changed everything that she usually did. That's so, obvious.
And the thing, if you think he would stalk her, or whoever, you would know what she would do on a regular day basis.
Exactly. So, and this is when they started getting really suspicious, when they realized that nothing was the same and that
everything was changing.
Yeah, everything was weird. While searching Linda's room, Murphy turned back the bedspread and found blood on the pillow in the head area of the sheets of Linda's bed. He found her nightgown covered in blood around the neck, neatly hanging in her closet. By interviewing the roommates, police then determined items missing from her room, including the clothing she wore the night before, a pink satin pillowcase, her backpack, and her house keys. So then, now they started to realize that everything was, missing, and, I don't know, it's just, all coming together now that it's not okay. It's bad.
Now they're probably assuming that she's gotten taken.
Yeah, especially since there's blood on things, and, nothing's the same.
And that she hasn't been showing up to work.
Right. While searching Linda's room, her roommates also found the back door open and found this very alarming. Normally, Linda would let herself in the side door, park her bike inside on the landing, make sure to lock it again. So, she knew Linda would always lock the door, park her bike by the side of the door, and, but nothing was the same. Her routine was not the same. That's why everybody was so, freaked out, was because everything was changing. She never did this.
Yeah.
They assumed the night before she had done nothing different. So, they assumed that's what she does. She locked the door, she parked her bike, everything was normal, but it really wasn't. Bob Keppel, a detective with King City Police, said the unique crime scene continues to stand out in his memory. It appeared someone had broken into the house, attacked Linda, redressed her, made the bed, and carried her off without a trace into the chilly night. So, Bob Keppel thinks that somebody broke in, which from what I've researched, it was Ted Bundy, obviously, but he carried her off without a trace.
But I'm just confused why he left the bloody nightgown or whatever in the closet. Especially when they had blood on it, and why he didn't take it with him.
Yeah. That's where I, get confused, is because, why would you... Yeah.
You're leaving your trace.
Right, exactly. A frightening incident happened about 2 months before Linda went missing. Roommate Monica Sutherland told police that she recalled Linda telling her that she was in the laundromat alone in an avenue near their home. when she noticed a man in an orange pickup stop and began to stare inside. The man then entered the laundromat without any clothing. He briefly fooled around with a machine before proceeding to check the back door of the laundromat. As he was leaving, the man never talked to Linda, but the incident frightened her. So, 2 months before Linda went missing, a naked guy walked into the laundromat and was messing with the machine.
So, he was really, like, making love to...
I guess. Washer. I guess. I don't know. He was messing around with a washer, so, like, that's kind of weird. Sutherland also told police about another incident that occurred about a month before she vanished. Sutherland had came home and was alone inside the residence. She suddenly heard the neighbor's dog start barking and peeked outside the front door to see a man standing on the lower step of her residence. He was holding the little dog around the neck, fiercely shaking it. She recounted how she ran outside and neighbors were yelling at the man. The man replied the dog attacked him and then fled on foot. So, 2 months before, like, she went missing, all of this weird stuff is happening to her. Like, she sees a guy choking a dog. She sees a naked guy run into the laundromat. Like, all of these weird things are happening.
I want to know who the naked man is.
Yeah, me too. I tried researching it, and literally nothing came up. Like, nothing. We may never know if Bundy specifically selected Linda or just chose a room at random. So, like, we don't know if Bundy has been stalking her or had been stalking her for that long. And then just like, oh, there's a room, there's a girl, I'm gonna murder her. Like, I don't know if he really thought that. But, like, the way these two tie together is crazy. Because, like, 2 months before she went missing, all this stuff was happening. So, like, maybe the conspiracy, like, the theory is Ted Bundy was the one choking the dog. Ted Bundy was the one naked in the laundromat. Like, all of that stuff. But, like, it's crazy because 2 months before, like, everything's leading up to her going missing. Ted Bundy had lived approximately 3 blocks away from Linda and frequently at the Safeway store. Linda had gone grocery shopping the night of her disappearance. So, Ted Bundy lived 3 blocks away from Linda. They had a Safeway store, and Linda had gone shopping the night of her disappearance. So, another thing I read into was Ted Bundy saw her there. Ted Bundy followed her back to her house, or back to the room, took her, and then did whatever he does with girls. As a coincidence, not widely mentioned, is Bundy's cousin, Edna Kaup. She was also a student at UW and lived with 2 previous roommates of Linda's. It is not known if Bundy ever met Linda through his cousins, but with Linda's circle of friends. Like, with Linda's circle of friends, you don't, like, she has a lot of friends, obviously. Like, she's in college, whatever. So maybe Bundy met her through, like, his cousin's friends, and, like, maybe they met at, like, a party or, like, you know, something like that. And then ever since then, he was just, like, attached, I guess.
Yeah.
During the month of January, Ted Bundy had been attending night school at the University of Puget Sound Law School. His normal class time was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Linda went missing after midnight on January 31st, a Thursday night when Bundy was not in class. So, like earlier, everything is leading up to this. Like, Bundy has no class the day she went missing. The back to the dog thing and the naked thing, like, all of it, like, his cousin, all of it's leading up to her going missing. In addition, Bundy was living 14 blocks away from Linda at the time of her disappearance. So he was always so close to her. So, like, you never know if he was, like, stalking her all the time. Yet another coincidence, during 1972, Linda and Bundy were enrolled at UW, were both majoring in psychology. However, no investigation was concluded that Linda and Bundy ever met. So, it's crazy, because, like, when he went, when after he killed so many more people, he went to court, and this is the one he confessed to. Like, he confessed to this one and, like, said crowbar and, like, all of this stuff, and nobody knew it was happening. Like, all of this stuff was happening, and nobody knew. Like, until it was too late.
But why would he only confess to this one?
He confessed to 30.
Oh.
Yeah, he confessed to 30 murders. And people, like, that's all he confessed to. So, like, there could be more whatever. But, like, this man was crazy. Like, crazy. So, we will never know if Bundy was stalking Linda for ever. Like, we'll never know that until ever. Like, like, we don't know if he just randomly picked her or, like, whatever. But there's a lot of ties that go into him stalking her. So, yeah.